Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
The following podcast is a member of the Great Big Owl family.
Sorry, I'll wait for David to finish his quavers.
That's very loud.
I'm putting apple core in a quavers bag. Detail fans.
I think best time to do that is when I'm about
keep
to do the
in.
Intro, really.
Keep yeah. this in.
Oh, my
God. Well, I didn't want to hold an apple core for the entire thing.
No, that would be monstrous.
Yeah.
What would everyone think of you?
I'm listening.
Eat the core. We're in a war. We can't waste anything.
Exactly.
I can't wait to hear what you have to say.
There might be a starving
John.
Child in Skegness who needs that.
Skegness.
I'm going to leave all this in, yeah, because I think it's charming.
Yeah,
it's charming. It's good for the our listeners to get to know who we are as people.
Yeah, behind the scenes.
Yeah. It's just the sort
now
of thing.
They know David eats quavers.
I didn't know that until today.
It's not a part of my identity.
I've only seen him drink coffee.
Yeah, that is a part of my identity.
Anyway, you're on the... Well, as I say, I left that in. So welcome to the show. We're on episode 3 now. This is a podcast that aims to unlock the mysteries of the past with a key of fact, hosted by me, John Rain, pointing at Eleanor.
I'm Eleanor Morton.
And it was still as slow as before. I'm David Reed.
What was slow?
The gap between you speaking and Eleanor speaking.
I know, but I filled it this time, so it's a bit better.
Okay.
Sorry, everyone.
Please join us as we present to you mysteries that have baffled the world and etc. There's a lovely bird song coming out of one of
I can hear birds. Whose bird song is that?
Must be David.
That's just my room full of birds. my bird room, as I call it.
Okay.
It is nice.
Where he makes all his Tex Avery cartoons.
That's it. but it does wake you up in the morning when the goose wake up. The geese, rather.
Don't let Eleanor's dad hear these birds after a show. He might come in and murder them all.
That's not how it works.
You told me your dad murders birds.
No, I don't. That's definitely not what I said.
You did.
He rescues them.
I thought you said murders.
Rescues them from the futility of existence.
He murders the ones that have overpopulated.
Well, there we
areas,
go. So technically, that's correct.
Yeah.
Rescues them.
Yeah.
I'm going to rescue a steak later.
Yes, showers during podcasts. He murders birds. Sounds a bit off on me.
It's all coming out now.
Yeah, it makes sense now. Well, this week I'm going to do, because we've done proper mysteries, haven't we, the last couple of weeks?
We've done
boat mysteries, plane mysteries. We've done. Hey, just plain crazy mysteries.
Right? Oh my God, you've turned into an actual DJ.
But this week, we're going to talk about a murder.
A murder.
A murder.
A murder.
In Liverpool?
No, it's not in Liverpool, actually. It's in London. But it's committed by an American.
Oh, mystery cool. solved.
This week, we're going to talk about Dr. Crippen. But that's not a mystery.
Yes.
That's not a mystery, John, I hear you saying. Is it not? Hmm? Hmm?
Is it not?
No, it's not. I mean, yes, it is.
I don't know much about Crippen. I'm looking forward to this.
Well, I can tell you.
I know an unsettling amount.
Excellent. Well, you can pick me up if I'm wrong.
I will.
Well, I can tell you immediately that he was a homeopath.
Right.
So that immediately tells you there's something wrong with him.
Right.
He was an ear and eye specialist, and he was from America. And he met his wife, his second wife, actually. His name was Cora. And she was a star of the stage in America.
Like us.
Yeah, like you two.
When the stage was a thing.
Yeah, when the stage was a thing.
Like before coronavirus, right?
Mm.
But also before the Spanish flu, so.
Yeah. Yep.
Yeah. So in 1897, they decided... Oh, by the way, she was also a bit of a slag.
Okay.
Did I point
that
out?
Oh, dear.
She openly had affairs.
Right. Oh. Like Eleanor and I.
Like Eleanor
not with
and
each
you.
Other, but not with each other.
Because it show, that is part of showbiz. It goes along with it, doesn't it?
It does, yeah.
Yeah, you've got, that's what you've got to do.
Lots of bonking.
In order that's to be right. a yeah. good performer, you've got to just put it about a bit.
Exactly.
You've just got to let everyone know you're open.
That's how Lee Mack got where he is, right?
Him specifically, yeah.
Exactly. So in 1897, they decided to move to England. But because his US qualifications wouldn't allow him to practice as a doctor, he carried on as a homeopath. And that kind of says all you need to know about that.
So was he a... he was an ear and eye homeopath.
Yeah.
What does that involve?
I think he just squirted liquid in people's ears and eyes.
But he was a doctor under American law.
In those days, yes. You could be a practicing homeopath.
I mean, that's nuts. But
we'll see what happens, won't we?
Well, I mean, you know, it's not... I mean, do you want to get treated there now? You know what I'm saying?
Right. Mm. It costs you a fortune just to have a bath. With someone else's memories.
Yep. Wait.
I don't know what's happening, but I like it.
Okay, so he continued working as a distributor of patent medicines, whereas Cora networked with the London stage scene.
Banged them.
Yeah, she banged them. Yeah. Cora was basically having sex with loads of people. So Crippen became a manager of something called the Druids Institution for the Deaf, where he hired a lady by the name of Ethel Leneve as his typist.
Mm. And we all know what happens with typists.
Yeah, you know what happens with typists, don't you? They get dictated. He started having an affair with Ethel Leneve.
Oh,
and she was a lot younger than him, but not that much. He wasn't a pedo.
Well, if he was, then why was he hiring a child as a typist?
Exactly. They can't even type. Yeah. After living at various addresses in London, they moved in 1905 to 39 Hilldrop Crescent in Camden Town, Camden Road in Holloway, which will become important later, everyone. So bookmark that one.
It was where a lot of music and... Oh, I see. You mean...
Oh, right. Yeah. They took in a lot of lodgers to augment Crippen's meagre income. Now, unfortunately, his wife being who she is, she started having an affair with one of them.
Oh, come on, Cora.
So Crippen basically thought, well, what's good for the goose? So he carried on having an affair with Ethel Leneve. And she officially became his mistress in 1908. So I'm guessing
how
she got...
How do you officially do that? Do you get a certificate?
Get a certificate.
Well, you have to become a king and then build her a house in the grounds.
Right.
That's how you do
That's
it.
What he did, effectively.
Oh, wow.
So, anyway, a happy home, 1908 this is. Everything's going lovely. Now, 2 years later, after a party at their home on the 31st of January in 1910... Cora.
1910.
Is that Cora, what the time was?
1910. We didn't take the piss out of you for that this week.
No.
I mean, this series.
I don't know why I reminded you.
I know, idiot. So Cora disappeared, and Crippen had claimed that she had returned to the United States and later said that she died and been cremated in California. So everyone was happy with that, and his lover, Ethel Leneve, moved into Hilldrop Crescent with him and began, and this is where it goes a bit weird, she began openly wearing Cora's clothes and jewellery. So does that mean she kind of stepped out of the house going, hi everybody?
She's the new Mrs. De Winter.
Yeah.
Oh man, it's a good film.
It's a great film, isn't it?
What film's that?
It's a good sketch.
It's about someone called Rebecca.
I was joking. The police were then one of Cora's sort of stagey friends, who was actually a strong woman. I don't know if that was her act or was she just a strong woman.
Just describe
strong, independent woman. Mm.
Yeah.
She went to the police and said, look, something's not right here, because his mistress is wearing all her clothes. She hasn't died. Something's going on here. So, you know, she hasn't, his story's bollocks. So the police went and spoke to him. And they searched the house. Nothing was found. Crippen was interviewed by the police, and he said, look, I lied. She didn't die and moved to California. Basically, I'm too embarrassed to tell everybody, but she's left me, fled to America with a lover, a musical actor by the name of Bruce Miller. And after the interview, and they did a quick search of the house, they found nothing, and they were satisfied with his story. But however, Crippen didn't know that they were happy with his story, so him and Leneve decided to pack up and fled to Brussels.
That never looks good.
It doesn't, does it? I spent a night in a hotel.
A normal thing to do.
Exactly. It's like EastEnders.
Brussels. And it was harder to flee to Brussels back then, wasn't it? Because didn't have the Eurostar.
Oh, exactly. Yeah. And you know, fleas were everywhere.
Well, it's hard now again.
It's good. It's hard again, is it? Has that happened? I've lost track. Does my passport not work anymore then?
No.
Oh, what?
God knows.
So when they got to Brussels, the next day they went to Antwerp and they boarded a boat. Now, this is important as well. This is significant. They got on an ocean liner called the SS Montrose bound for Canada.
The SS what?
Montrose.
Montrose.
Now, this is important later because this case is a very famous case for two reasons, but one particular reason. So the police then found out he'd buggered off with his mistress. So they went back to the house and gave a massive search of it this time. So it was a bit like that bit in Life of Brian where they found a spoon.
Yeah.
But this time they found in the cellar the torso of a human body that was buried under the brick floor basement.
Uh-oh.
Yeah. William Wilcox, the scientific advisor for the police, he found traces of the calming drug scopolamine in the torso. The corpse.
That's how you say it.
Is that how you say it?
No, scopolamine. I don't know.
It's scopolamine.
Scopolamine.
I'm going to go with it. The corpse was identified by a piece of skin on its abdomen. The head, limbs, and skeleton were never recovered.
Hang on, the skeleton was never recovered.
Yeah. Wait, what?
So, what's a torso without a skeleton?
It's an interesting question. Chicken and egg time.
I mean, it's just a
What came first, the skeleton or the torso, David?
It's a load of mince with some organs inside, isn't it?
Yeah.
I'm having difficulty picturing this, John.
So this is where it gets important. Yeah. This is where it gets fruity, because meanwhile, Crippen and his mistress were crossing the Atlantic on the Montrose. Now, he decided it would be a really, 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 really good idea if she was dressed as a boy.
Got to.
So it's a bit cranky to this point.
He's really panicked after that first interview, hasn't he?
The problem is that the captain recognised them just before setting sail. So what he did is he sent a wireless telegram to the British authorities. Now, this is the first time a wireless telegram had been used to communicate that a fugitive had been found from sea. So it's very famous for that. I'm probably wrong about that, but never mind.
They've basically, the police have gone, we're looking for a man and a woman. Mm. And Crippen's gone, they'll be looking for a man and a woman.
Yeah.
You need to dress as a small boy who I'm romantically engaged with.
Not to kiss.
I'm guessing that, I'm guessing, and she said fan Dabby Dozy a lot, but I'm guessing that this became famous after, because you can, if you Google Ethel and Eve's name,
yes,
there are photos of her where she had posed in the dress. Dressed as the boy.
As the boy.
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
And she looks nothing like a boy. She looks like a woman.
I was going to say, does she look like a woman in trousers?
Yes.
Yeah.
Basically.
And she should have put on a big moustache.
But apparently,
boys have.
If they'd have travelled, if they'd have travelled third class, they'd never have been found. Mm. But unfortunately, they didn't. So the policeman came aboard, disguised as a pilot, and because Canada was still a dominion of the British Empire. They could say, you're under arrest, mate. If he'd gone to America, they'd have had to extradite him.
That old getting across the border thing.
Yeah.
That's a mistake.
So the policeman came aboard and said, you're under arrest. Apparently, Crippen said, thank God it's over. The suspense has been too great. I couldn't stand it any longer. Not again, something you'd want to say if you're innocent.
Really.
No, but this is the Poirot era, where you just go, it's a fair cop.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Crippen was later put on trial at the Old Bailey before the Lord Chief Justice on the 18th of October 1910. They lasted for 4 days. Now, the first prosecution witnesses were pathologists, who included the famous Bernard Pillsbury, who was involved with a lot of murders around that time. He testified that they could not identify the torso remains or even discern whether they were male or female. However, there was a piece of skin that had an abdominal scar which matched Cora's medical history. So that was how she was identified.
400 men had seen it recently.
Exactly. And it had 400 types of semen on it.
Just like the boat.
I mean, sailors, for God's sake, what's wrong with you?
face those Twitter notifications? Forgot to watch anything but Netflix? Dreading the video conference small talk at 9? You need a news vitamin, you know. You need the Smart 7. It's a brand new daily podcast that puts your brain into gear. Everything you need to know in less than 7 minutes. You need the smarts? Hey, we got the smarts. The Smart 7, every weekday at 7 a.m. Available right now on Spotify and all the usual places.
Throughout the proceedings and the sentencing, Crippen showed no remorse and no concern for his lover's reputation. The jury found him guilty of murder in 27 minutes.
So John, where's the mystery?
Well, this is it. Leneve was charged with being an accessory and acquitted. Although Crippen never gave any reason for the killing of his wife, several theories have been... one was a notable barrister who said that Crippen was using hyoscine on his wife as a depressant or an aphrodisiac.
Doesn't sound like she needed one.
Doesn't, does it?
No.
But he gave her an overdose.
Or he gave
panicked.
Her too much.
Exactly.
Yeah.
He's a homeopath. Nothing he gave her will have done anything.
Now, a man, a British journalist, apparently interviewed Ethel Leneve years later, and she apparently told him that Crippen murdered his wife because she had syphilis.
Right.
Which is possible.
Yeah.
But he was hanged, and after the trial, Leneve travelled to... Now, this is interesting. After the trial, Leneve travelled to Toronto to work as a typist for 3 years before returning to London, taking the name of Ethel Harvey, which was Crippen's middle name. While working at a furniture store off of Trafalgar, she met and married a guy called Stanley Smith, and she had two children. They lived in Croydon, where Ethel died in 1967. She took her secrets with her to the grave, but many are convinced that far from the shy, retiring Violet who accidentally tangled with the murderer, she might in fact have been the instigator of the crime. An eminent biologist by the name of Professor William Wright was set to testify in the Crippen case, but was never called because he had seen Ethel in a library at the Royal College of Surgeons poring over books on toxicology.
Dun, dun, dun.
Now, the mystery here is that in 2007, so many years later,
Cora walked into
Cora
the
arose
old
from the
Bailey
grave.
Yeah. The old I've baby. Been on holiday.
Yeah. She was the canoe man.
That canoe man.
Oh.
We're going to do him one day, right?
Oh, yeah, definitely.
Canoe man.
Yeah.
And then we'll do an episode about him. Sorry. So, a scientist by the name of Dr. David Foran claimed that using mitochondrial DNA, which is where they use like the bare minimum of DNA, the remains found beneath Crippen's cellar floor were, in fact, not of his wife, but of, and I can test you, ladies and gentlemen, a male.
Ooh. Oh, what?
Mm.
A man?
A man.
So, what? Hang on. What's going on?
So, it's not her.
So, well, it possibly...
Well, or it's one of her many gentlemen callers.
Oh.
So, where is Cora?
Mmm. Well, maybe she ran off to America and then died.
Oh, yeah, that could have happened.
Like he originally said.
Yeah.
No, that's very odd, isn't it?
Now, the same research also argued that the scar on the abdomen, which was the original trial's prosecution, wasn't at all definitive at all. So it means nothing.
Right.
But however, the new scientific evidence has been contested by journalist and author David Aranovich, who said, as to the body being male, well, the American team were using a special technique that is very new, and so it can't be trusted. So there is still an element of doubt. However, I have some theories.
It is the homeopathy of forensics.
Exactly.
It's
getting very bitchy in the forensic world, isn't it?
It is, isn't it? No, I've got three theories.
Okay.
And then I'll hand over to you. Now, number one.
All right.
Crippen gave his wife so much homeopathy that she turned into a man and exploded. So he buried her, panicked, and ran away.
I mean, somehow her skeleton came out of her torso, which is quite an impressive feat.
It's probably in someone else's bath now.
Right.
Now, the next one is Russian scientists framed Crippen to stop him finding out about Chernobyl.
Yep.
And the third one...
Because the homeopaths would blow that wide open.
Wide open. And the third one, aliens abducted his wife and left the bits of the last one they took.
Oh, yeah.
Okay, no, well, all of those make sense.
Yeah.
I don't know. This is perplexed me, this one. More why would anyone admit to murder if they hadn't done it?
Well, exactly.
I mean, that's the question, isn't it?
And why would Cora run off, murder one of her lovers, and then run off, and then never, ever pop up to go, oh, I'm still alive, by the way. I heard another theory as well.
Yeah,
go on.
So another theory was that the body was a woman, but it wasn't his wife. I think they maybe proved it wasn't his wife.
Mm-hmm.
It wasn't Cora, but they didn't prove anything else.
I think I've solved it.
Oh,
carry on.
Okay. This is like one of those boring serious series, but they think maybe he was also an abortionist.
Oh.
And that was a botched job that he'd done.
That's 10 Rillington Place. That's a different.
I was gonna say, yeah.
That's a different one.
Well, he only said he was an abortionist.
Okay.
David, got anything?
Hello. Now, what was the name of the one who wasn't Cora?
Ethel.
I've thought about this a lot, but obviously, what's her name?
Ethel and Eve.
Okay, here's my theory. All right, she has gone to Crippen and gone, in a fit of passion, I've killed your wife.
Mm-hmm.
And she's emotionally manipulated him into taking the rap for her. So that, because he loves her, right?
Right.
But she hasn't killed his wife. She is in love with his wife.
Oh, my God.
Oh, what a twist.
So they've killed a hobo and buried him under the patio or wherever it was.
Yeah.
And Crippen has fallen for it, hook, line and sinker.
Oh, my goodness.
So she goes on the boat with him to escape. She's like, oh, but he needs to get caught. I'll push this dressing as a boy idea. That'll get us caught. And lo and behold, it works. And then she can go have a life with her her lesbian lover, who is also her lover's wife.
Wow.
Yeah, that's a real Bermuda Triangle.
But it all makes sense, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, except that obviously she was never seen with Cora.
Or what was the name of the Mr. Smith?
Ethelred. He was called Ethelred.
Stanley Smith.
Stanley Smith sounds like a made-up name to me, and well within the range of such a talented actress.
Oh, so she could have got Cora to dress as a man.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's thematically strong.
Mm.
Cora wore a fake moustache as Stanley Smith for the rest of their days.
Cora wore a fake moustache.
That's right. Do you not know the famous song?
It's a musical song from, yeah.
Cora wore a fake moustache.
Fake moustache.
To bang her husband's mistress.
Here's a question.
Yeah.
If you guys turned up as mutilated corpses, what would be the, you know, the mark that your loved ones could identify you by?
I mean, you're basically asking how are we hideously disfigured.
Yeah.
Do you have anything weird?
Mine would be my simply enormous penis.
Mine too.
Mine would be David's enormous penis.
That's right.
Yeah.
John's asked to be buried with it, and weirdly I've said yes. What would it be? No, I don't think I've got any birthmarks or anything, or any interesting scars.
That's just, you know, you should get one just in case.
I should, shouldn't I?
Or we could just write our names on our torsos.
That's
in Sharpie.
Yeah.
I've got a scar on my bottom lip in the shape of my top teeth.
But that's going to be no good for your torso, though.
No, that's true.
No, that's the thing, because your face is there and people know that.
I'll get my face tattooed onto my torso.
I have a weird second nipple.
Right.
Oh!
I don't know if anyone...
In the same place as on the other side of... The,
it's on
like
the other side.
The first
it's like,
one.
Yeah, like symmetrical.
Weird.
Yeah.
Yeah, there we go. What theory do you think?
On the right-hand side. What
theory are we going with?
I like my theory of secret lesbians.
Yeah.
What were yours again, John? You had loads.
I had Crippen gave his wife so much homeopathy that she turned into a man and exploded.
So I like that one, yeah.
Pretty strong.
Russian scientists framed him to stop him finding out about Chernobyl.
Also good.
They abducted his wife and left the bits of their last one.
Yeah, I know. I like the idea that homeopathy.
You
know the thing.
Yeah.
Homeopathy is to blame.
Yeah. I think it's neat.
Because it's, yeah, it wraps everything up.
Does.
Like a torso in a cellar.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
What do you guys have against lesbianism?
It's not necessarily that. It's just that. Yeah, I've got a big problem with that, actually.
What is... I mean, I think it's watertight, as a theory.
I've seen that film.
Watertight, as a theory.
This is the Richard Nixon film,
as
isn't
a theory.
It?
Yeah.
Watertight, is a different film.
It certainly is.
I just think I've knocked it out of the park with mine, and I'm sticking to my guns.
All right, well, for the sake of brevity, I'll agree with...
Yes.
Yeah, I'll go with David as well.
Just bullied my way into it.
Yeah.
You've 12 angry men your way through this
one. I've stuck to my guns. I've shamed the racist.
Uh huh.
I've done everything right.
Hang on, who was the racist again?
There's the one who he starts banging on about the Chinese.
Oh,
or something,
I thought you meant in terms of the Crippen.
Weren't they
story?
All racist? Yeah. Isn't that the point? Oh yeah.
No.
We're homophobes.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
I think you're thinking of To Kill a Mockingbird, but in 12 Angry Men, they all turn their back on the racist.
They do. And he cries.
Yeah.
It's because his son, he disapproved of his son.
That's right.
That's what it was.
Was it? Yeah. I can't remember
what
it was.
His son was black.
His son was black.
Yeah. I can't remember. I've only seen it once.
Yeah.
I can't remember. I've seen it once. I thought it was really good, though.
It's great.
I thought it was good.
It's got nothing to do with what we're talking about. Yeah, it's great. It's a great film.
Nothing to do with what we're on about.
It's justice. It's about justice.
Right. Yeah.
And that's what we're talking about.
That's the biggest mystery in this world.
I can't believe Crippen was done for murder when he so clearly didn't commit murder. He
didn't
but
do
also
it.
Went on to voice the Wombles. That's incredible.
That's right, David. Yeah. He was great in Doctor Who as well.
He was great in Doctor Who.
Oh, actually, he did that
Didn't
song
he
about.
Have a hit?
Yeah, he said right.
Yeah,
said Fred.
It was Novelty Records.
Yeah,
he said,
"I'm so sexy for my too sexy for my shirt."
Is that him?
Right, said Fred.
My torso is too sexy for my head.
For my wife's shirt.
It's a dead giveaway, mate. Don't mention it.
I murdered my wife, you
they
know what
on.
I mean, and I buried her body in the basement.
Oh, mate.
It's scams.
It does.
It's like
does
OJ.
Scam.
They'll still take you down. You can't write a book about it.
I mean, OJ literally can say he did it now, and it's fine.
Yeah.
Are we going to do that, or is that...
I mean, it's open.
Do you remember
when
Ruby Wax interviewed Crippen, and he came to the door with a jar, a glass of homeopathy?
She was disgusted,
wasn't she?
Yeah.
Juiced.
Have you seen that the prank show OJ tried to do?
Oh, God.
This is very off topic.
No.
But go look it up tonight.
Does he go around celebrity houses leaving gloves?
Yeah.
he dresses up as various in disguises and then he reveals that he's OJ and people are like, oh, hi OJ.
Don't murder me.
It's you.
Oh, my God, that's terrifying.
That's awful.
It's awful. You should definitely watch it 100%.
Is that why he does every episode?
Pretty. I mean, yeah, it's very one note. He's not much of a comedian.
I dare you to watch Naked Gun 1-3, Eleanor. You'll find he's a gifted comedian.
True. He didn't write that, though, did he? You know,
didn't
it's
he?
Just goes to show when people go solo, often they don't hold up.
For me, is that a dig at me?
Could be a dig at any of us, really.
Yeah, true. For me, he's the definitive Nordberg. I don't think anyone's done it better.
Yeah, I think you're right.
Has anyone else done it at all?
Yeah,
yes, they have.
Police squad.
Oh, yeah.
But then the original Nordberg gets to take all that cocaine and sing Glow Little Worm.
That's true.
That's a funny bit.
Yeah.
Anyway.
So, I think he did it.
Yeah, we think he did actually do the murder.
He didn't do the murder, but he was gulled into accepting culpability by his mistress.
He was cuckolded.
Yeah. Was he?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
Could be.
Yeah.
Or
well, he was cuckolded repeatedly throughout the story, wasn't he?
Yeah. I mean, he had quite a sad life. I mean, if he didn't actually murder anyone, that's a horrible life, isn't it?
It's not great.
No.
All he wanted to do was have sex with people. What's wrong with that?
What is wrong with that?
He saw his wife having it all the time and thought, I'd like a bit of that.
We don't know he saw it.
Well, he probably heard it.
Probably.
she had good voice, apparently, so...
It was just in the next room. He was in the next room drinking pint after pint of
homeopathy. He's probably thinking, if I drink enough of this, I might explode.
I'm going to kill myself.
Oh, hang on. That's a good idea.
Yeah. Kill myself with 4 pints of tap water.
Homeopathy.
You probably could, actually. Right, I think that's...
I think there can be nobody in any doubt that if you're writing a book about Dr. Crippen...
Stop.
I mean, you'll probably have to revise it because there's probably loads of them anyway. But yeah, stop. Don't bother. We've solved that. And
nailed it.
If you want to catch us on the social media, believe me, you can. I'm Mr. Ken Shabby. David is Mr. David Reed. And Ellen is at Ellen Morton. And the podcast is at All Rather Pod, which you probably know already. Thank you both for listening.
You're welcome.
Yeah, Phyllis and Philip.
If you liked it, tweet about it.
Why not? Some people do, you know. Some people quite like it.
Yeah, I know, they're very nice.
I was telling David earlier that we've had some quite nice people saying nice things about us.
Yeah,
I don't know if they're nice. They might be racist. I don't know. But they've been saying nice things.
No, they're nice to us, and that's all that matters.
It's all that matters. I don't care if you're a racist. Just promote this podcast. Put it on ilovehitler.com. I don't mind.
I do care. But these two don't, but I do.
Yeah. No, I like to say I want to see how it turns out and then I'll make up my mind.
Oh, come on, mate.
you can't sit on the fence about this.
Get off the race fence.
Yeah.
No, I'm just plain devil's advocate, you know me.
It's nice to have a dynamic that's like a triangle, isn't it?
See, it's
trying to put a through arc through this series.
Yeah.
Triangles.
Yeah, so it feels like when one of us is murdered in the final episode, it feels like the clues have been hiding in plain sight.
Well, I think that if David's theory is the one we're going with, then really it was death by two triangles.
Yeah.
Oh.
What?
That can't be the last thing we say.
No, that's what you just said there is. Okay. Oh, no, it's me. Anyway.
Goodbye.
We'll see you next week and we'll have more mysteries.
Woo.
Like, why are we still doing this? Goodbye.
Bye.
Bye.
If you're a fan of all things geeky, you're going to love Concessions, a brand new podcast by comedian Matt Hinton and myself, Beck Hill, where we interview your favourite cult heroes at Comic-Cons all across the world. We've got stars from Star Wars, Harry Potter, The Walking Dead and more. Make sure you tune in soon to Concessions.
GreatBigOwl.com.
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.